Somebody say, there's nothing to go back to. I believe it was Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. Not ignoring them, but forgetting them. We do have to let go of things because they prevent us from reaching other things. And how many knows there's great things before us? Amen. Precious promises. And I want to possess, I want to apprehend, I want to acquire, I want to obtain everything that the Lord says is mine. In fact, he told Joshua, he said, see, I have given thee Jericho. And he was like, really? What do you mean I've given thee? Jericho's over there. See, you need to have a vision of what God has promised you. Without a vision, you'll never reach for it. Amen. We need to see what God has given to us, what he has made available to us. And you really only have what you possess. You can claim a lot of things, but you really only have what you possess. Amen. And I want to possess every promise, everything that God says is mine. Amen. Well, tonight I want to turn your attention to the word of the Lord. And we're going to do our best to minister if you will do your best to hear. Will you? Will you look at someone and ask them this question, brother or sister, will you do your best tonight to hear the word of the Lord? All right. It's very important that we hear, that we perceive. Amen. And there's a lot of things that happen in a service that many people miss because they're not paying attention. Paying attention, all right, they're just not paying attention to the right things. And it is vital that we become studious and attentive and aware of our surroundings, spiritually that is, and what it is that God wants to accomplish. And I'm certain that even tonight, God wants to accomplish something. It's not important that I get my way, but I believe it is imperative that God gets his way. I believe it is. And if you want God to have his way in you and with you, would you say amen? All right. Raymond, so glad you're here. Amen. My new friend, thank you. And I'm glad the Lord's made a way for you to be here tonight. The month of December, we're going to be hearing a lot about fellowship. And I'm still learning, you know, after nearly 20 years of attending a congregation, a church, I'm still learning more about fellowship, its role, the importance of fellowship, you know, the types, the levels, the aspects, and even layers of fellowship. And you're going to be hearing more about this subject through our pastor, which is away tonight with his wife on their 26th wedding anniversary celebration. And we rejoice with them for that. The word fellowship is only mentioned, at least in the King James Version, 17 times, but it is demonstrated from Genesis to Revelation. And so I want you to say this with me. Say it. Say fellowship is very important. Say that. And God wants us to know how important it really is. So I want to read one verse of Scripture and then we'll pray and then you can seat yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I'm going to read just one verse, at least for the moment. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called, everybody say called, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everybody say called unto the fellowship. So we're not just called to be saved alone, but through salvation, we are able to come into the fellowship. Everybody say the fellowship. And of course, fellowship is defined as to be coupled, to bind together, to unite, to make alliance with, or to join together. So tonight, for just a little while, I may not do a lot of explaining, but mostly proclaiming, as Brother Wright would put it. Because of time, we just don't have the adequate time to explain a whole lot. But hopefully, it will sow seed into your life. And Pastor Kyle, perhaps over the next few weeks, will continue on this subject as he has announced on Sunday. So let's pray together. Can we? Can we pray together right now? Let's pray together. Lord, we are here tonight, and it is not in vain. We're here because we need you, and we want to hear you. We want to hear your word. We want and desire, Lord Jesus, that you would talk to us. Talk to our heart. God, we need you in this hour. And we want to value the things that you value, and pay close attention to things that are vital to our not only survival, but to our continual progress as your church and as your people. And I pray that you'd bless every hearer tonight, and let the word of the Lord come into this sanctuary, and let it fill every heart in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, young people, for leading us in praise and in worship tonight. And I think they've done a great job. How about you? I think they do a wonderful job. Amen. Fellowship in the Old Testament is called chabar. I may not pronounce it right, but it does mean to be compact, to be united, to make an ally with, or come into an alliance with another, to join together. In the New Testament, it is koinoniai, which is association, community, communion. And this really gives clarity, gives kind of really defines, especially the way I'm going to be presenting it tonight. Everybody say joint participation. All right, joint participation. Not just a one-sided effort, but a joint participation. It means to share which one has, that which one has. It means intimacy, companionship, partnership, membership, and to exhibit such. So when we come into fellowship with God, we are coming into a partnership with Him. That is amazing to me, that God would allow us to come into a partnership with Him. And the Bible says in Corinthians 1:9, and I read this again, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we're called into a partnership, into communion, and to become participators with Him. Everybody say fellowship. So we're not called just to be saved and stay in that condition, but salvation gives us the opportunity to come into fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Amen. communion, cooperation, collaboration, cohabitation, if you could understand that. And every member in the body of Christ is vital to this fellowship. The Bible talks about every joint supplying. So every member, every joint is very, very important to God. We are His body. God operates and functions through what? His body. And of course, when you saw Jesus, you saw God. And of course, God was manifesting Himself, making Himself known through the body or the flesh, the man, Christ Jesus. And you see the very nature of the eternal God, the qualities of God. You see Him through the body, the life, the Son, Jesus Christ. And now we are called to be members of that body. And of course, we know that we enter into that body through the new birth experience, being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Spirit. Somebody say, I need to be a part of the body. Amen. And of course, when you read the scripture, some of these will be very familiar to you. We read about fellowship of the gospel, fellowship among the brethren, fellowship in His sufferings. I don't really enjoy that, but that's Philippians 3. Fellowship in His sufferings, and to have fellowship with the Spirit, to be in fellowship with righteousness. And also there's fellowship in ministry, or fellowship, partnership in ministering and in serving. And how many knows this world needs a real Jesus? And Jesus came to do what? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He came to minister. He came to reach the lost. Amen. He came to reach me and you. And I turn the pages of the Bible, a few pages, back to Genesis and realize that Enoch, this was no new thing. This was not some New Testament concept. But even back in the days of Enoch, it tells us that Enoch walked with God. And if you understand that, what it is saying is Enoch, although he did not see God, and he may not have even heard the audible voice of God, it's very clear to us that Enoch had close fellowship with God. And perhaps that fellowship was based on his revelation of God. And he did not just live a life as some, you know, just some individual who just appeared to be righteous, but he actually walked with God and he demonstrated what he believed. He lived out, he acted out what he believed from the Lord. And it is written that Enoch pleased God. He had this testimony before he was taken, that he pleased God. And that tells me that he did walk by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we assume that Enoch did things that were pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And obviously, he was very consistent in walking and demonstrating and living a life that was pleasing to the Lord. Everybody say he had fellowship with God. Amen. And I believe it was because of what he was taught. Everybody say, somebody's got to teach you. Amen. You don't just wake up one day not knowing anything about God, then all of a sudden you just desire, you know, and just, you know, have this in your mind, unless God puts it there. I'm just going to reach for the stars. I'm just going to find God. If you have that desire, it's because God put it there. There's no good in man, not in fallen man, not in our human nature. So we thank God for redemption and for the work of the Spirit. It is through fellowship, and I don't know if you're keeping notes. If you are studious, you are wise to do so, either by pen and paper or on your electronic device. But it is through fellowship that we gain knowledge of each other. It is through fellowship that we gain knowledge of God. through this spiritual partnership, this communion, this cohabitation, this cooperation, this intimate relationship. It is through this that we gain knowledge of another. It is through fellowship that we learn how to trust. You don't just trust just randomly, but it's through fellowship that we learn how to trust. It is through fellowship that we gain experience. And I find also that fellowship fuels confidence. You ever, been somewhere and in a certain place and there was no agreement there. There was no communion there between you and the other party. And therefore, you felt deficient and void and lacking in the area of confidence. But you can change locations and come into in the midst of your brethren, and then all of a sudden, through fellowship, you start feeling better, thinking better, acting better, and displaying more confidence. So I personally feel that true fellowship among the house of God will fuel confidence. And I can go to some places and I don't feel the confidence of God working within me. And that tells me either I've got a problem with my connection with God, or I might have a problem with my connection with you, or vice versa. And maybe you're not receiving me as I'm receiving you. And so it hinders. Everybody say it hinders. And you cannot, and I wrote this down, and I know Brother Sean Dooley will appreciate this, because he has helped me in this area. And he has helped a lot of us if we have listened to him as he has taught and as he has lived his life. I learned that we cannot have healthy fellowship without good communication. Everybody say good communication. You know, communication is how you solve problems. You don't just solve problems just by sitting there and just getting over it. Because normally people just don't get over things until there's proper communication implemented. Is that right? You learn to work through situation and resolve conflicts and issues by good communication. And I'll give you an example of bad communication. When your friend does something to you and says something to you that you disagree with or that you don't like or that hurts your feelings, and you just run away from them and you avoid them and you have a pity party. And I know I've had pity parties just like you, just like everybody else. You know, I'm just as human as anyone else. But the problem is not solved. And if I don't begin to communicate with that other person, the next thing you know, the devil jumps on board and he finds a crack. He finds an area. He finds a place where he can move in. And doesn't the Bible say, neither give place to the devil? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It doesn't mean you can solve the problem before the sun sets. It means you can deal with your situation, your problem, your anger, your wrath before the sun goes down. Because there's a lot of situations they cannot be dealt with or handled or fixed before the sun goes down. But you can deal with your wrath before the sun goes down. Somebody say amen. I can deal with my anger problem before the sun goes down by submitting myself to the Lord and to the character and the life of God, the mercy of God. You know, instead of pointing the finger at everybody else, why not start looking inward? You know, we're so good, and I didn't intend on saying this, but we're so good at reading the Bible to see what everybody else's responsibility is. But we forget that we need to read the Bible to find out what I need to do and how I need to live and how I need to react and how I need to respond. It might be you that God is calling to initiate reconciliation instead of waiting on somebody else to make the first move. Isn't that just like God? For God so loved the world, He initiated the relationship, not us. So hopefully that's good information for you. But I feel that when I look at the church in the book of Acts, and we read that, after the conversion of those 3,000 people plus the 120, that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So, and then we follow, we study, we observe the church throughout those chapters in the book of Acts, and we find that the church is very powerful and influential, and that they're effective in ministry. And everywhere they go, they're either having a revolt or a revival. It's either one or the other. Something's going to happen when the church shows up. They have influence. They have power with God and with men. And I feel that one of the reasons why they were so effective and so influential in their external or their surrounding community was because of their internal fellowship. Because of the fellowship, the intimate companionship and cooperation and love and unity and respect and reverence they had one for another. You see, the reverence wasn't just for the apostle and just for the prophet, but they had respect one for another. Amen. They treated each other like they were treating the apostle, they were treating the prophet, or they were treating the pastor. They weren't just esteeming the 12, but they respected each other. Everybody say they respected each other. Oh, let there be a revival of respect, amen, and proper reverence one for another. Hallelujah. My. I could stay on that a while, but I won't. Pastor will be here Sunday, so brace yourself. Is this okay so far? Just a little teach, preach. But I think that it's good and it's needed. And this of course, helped helped strengthen and edify and encourage the brethren, the members of the body of Christ, the believers. This fellowship helped strengthen them and edify them and encourage them. How many has come into a service and you've come to church and you were feeling lousy, but before you left, now I know sometimes you leave and you're sadder, you're grieving, you're upset. You know, some people leave worse, but most of us leave better, stronger, healthier, happier. You know, and listen, Brother Vieira, and I have said it myself, you know, that, you know, we need to be the happiest people on the planet. And I understand that. I really do. But I don't think that Jesus was a happy man carrying that cross up that hill. I don't think he was very happy in the midst of his suffering. However, for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy's coming. Amen. So, I am happy in my spirit, but I'm telling you, there's two sides to reality. There's the physical, and there's the spiritual. There's the temporal, and there's the eternal. Somebody said, I don't have much. I think it was Paul said, I don't have much. Brother Nick, you can probably quote that. I don't know if it's Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But he talks about being sorrowful. He talks about being poor and broke and having nothing. But yet he said, but yet possessing all things, yet making many rich, unknown yet well known. So it seems like he's dealing with two sides to reality. What's seen and what's not seen. Hello? What's temporal and what's eternal. Praise the Lord. And that wasn't part of the lesson here, so we'll continue. But the church was strengthened. They were edified. They were encouraged, and it was through fellowship. They had the right doctrine. They had the right name. Amen. Jesus taught them how to pray. He taught them how to cast out devils. Amen. He demonstrated to them character and how they should behave and so forth. And now they have the Spirit, amen, to enable them to do things and live a certain way and behave a certain way. But they also had to be intentional about their fellowship. Everybody say intentional. Deliberate. On purpose. You know, you can stay home. You really can. And, you know, maybe because you're tired or, And in fact, you can, you know, just say, well, I don't need Sunday school. I've been going to Sunday school my whole life. You know, I read the Bible 5 times. You know, you can say that. But I think that you have an improper perception of the body of Christ if you feel like you don't need to fellowship with all the other members when fellowship time has come. Now, that's just my thoughts there. But the body of Christ, they were strengthened, they were edified, they were encouraged. And this, of course, facilitated unity. I don't see how you can have unity without fellowship. Everybody say unity requires fellowship. Amen. And this, of course, the result of this is God was so loosed, God was so free to work, to flow, to function, to operate through this body because they were all in sync, they were all in harmony, they were all in cooperation. There was a partnership among this many-membered body of Christ. They were all working together, all in fellowship. And of course, the result of that is the Lord was loosed to really and freely and uninhibited just work and flow and move and speak and demonstrate and do wonderful miracles there in that day. And the body, at least at that time, was not dysfunctional. It was not a body out of joint. Notice the Bible says that not a bone in his body would be broken. So it's not the broken bones that we're worried about. It's the body that's out of joint. It's disjointed. It's dysfunctional. And when we neglect and refuse fellowship, that's where we're headed. We're headed to becoming a disjointed body and a dysfunctional body, thereby limiting the life and the flow and the function and the operation of the Spirit. Everybody say, God needs every member to be in cooperation. All right. And of course, a body without proper fellowship is, and I'm reiterating, is disjointed, dysfunctional, or can become, or will become that way, and will be insufficient in accomplishing its purpose, its calling, its objectives. So body fellowship, everybody say this with me. Body fellowship, or I can say fellowship among the body, you know, proper fellowship among the body requires submission. It really does. It really requires submission and obedience. Without submission, without obedience, you will not be in fellowship with God or with the body of Christ. And the result of that is you will actually quench the Spirit. You know, we feel that quenching the Spirit is just something that we do in a service. But you can actually be quenching the Spirit by refusing to come into fellowship with the body of Christ. I don't know if you understand that, but I hope that you will consider it. That you can actually, I can actually quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit by neglecting and refusing to submit, come into obedience, and be a partaker or a partner with my brother and sister in Christ. Everybody say, we need to go together. Amen. We need to flow together because we don't want to quench the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 8, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8 says, for ye were sometimes, everybody say, darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Say, light in the Lord. And he continues and he says, walk as children of light. It's not enough just to stay where you are and be content that you are now light in the Lord. But he gives us instruction and he says, now that you are light in the Lord, it's time to conduct yourself. It is time to progress. It is time to walk in this light and walk as the children of light. Somebody say, if I stay where I'm at, I'm going to be a vegetable. If I stay where I'm at, I'm going to be a spiritual couch potato. How many's ever heard that term? Listen. We don't need any more couch potatoes. The world is full of couch potatoes. And listen, and don't take this wrong. We don't want you to be a vegetable either. We don't want you to be a spiritually handicapped individual. We don't want you to be 20 years old in the Lord with only 1 year of maturity. 1 year of experience, somebody said 20 times. And I like the way Brother Cisco put it. He said, some people have 20 years of experience, and other people have 1 year of experience 20 times. And there's a lot of truth to that. Somebody say, grow up. Amen. That's what the Lord wants. Praise God. That's what perfection means and maturing means. It means we grow up. Somebody say, when I grow up, I put away childish things. I put away childish attitudes. Amen. One of the signs of maturity is responsibility, that you take on responsibility. It has nothing to do with what you feel. It has everything to do with what you know and what you believe and what you're persuaded of. Amen. And I'm persuaded that I need God, and I also need my church. I need my body. I need my hand. I need my feet. I need my toes. I need my pancreas. I need every member, every part of my body. I need it. I want it. Amen. And I hope the members of my body are in cooperation with my brain. Amen. Everybody say, the head speaking, but is the body listening? Is the body responding? How many has ever heard the Lord speak to you and direct you to do something, but you didn't do it? What was it? Fear? An inconvenient time, perhaps? Maybe you were unsure of yourself. We've all been there. We've all done that, I'm sure. God does want us to be in cooperation with Him, not just as individuals, but as a collective body. Let's lift our hands for just a moment and thank the Lord. Come on, I hope that you can absorb what is being said today in this service. There are some important things that are being mentioned in your hearing tonight. We cannot expect, we should not expect to remain as lights in this world if we are continuing to fellowship with darkness. We are deceiving ourselves if we think that we can remain light, holy, righteous, godly in this untoward generation. We're fooling ourselves if we think that we're going to remain in such a way if we continue to fellowship with unrighteousness and with darkness. In fact, one writer said, I believe it was John, maybe James, to be the friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Isn't that amazing? That's scary. Every time I read that, I scratch my head. To be the friend of this world is to be the enemy of God. I don't want to be God's enemy. And I know you don't either. But we cannot expect to remain light if we're fellowshipping with darkness. We cannot expect and should not expect to remain good if we're fellowshipping evil. And listen, I don't expect you to stay optimistic and trusting and believing if you're always fellowshipping and in partnership and in communion with those who are very pessimistic and distrusting and even cynical. You know the scripture, evil communications corrupt good manners. It's only a matter of time before your morals are corrupted, before your idea of the church and living for God and etc. It's only a matter of time before your views begin to change. And it may be because of the tree that you are eating from. Notice it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of the knowledge of God. And the enemy is still tempting you and I with that same seed, that same fruit. He wants us to partake and enjoy the knowledge of good and evil. But notice there was only one tree that gave knowledge of God, and it was the tree of life. And that's the tree that we as believers, as sons and children of God, have access to even tonight to know God. So I hope that you're still eating from the right tree. I drew a little picture today just to illustrate a point. You know, the sun stays in one place. It does, as far as we know, it doesn't move. It remains stable and consistent. And the earth that we live on orbits or rotates or moves around the sun. So in a certain location, there may be light. But as that earth begins to shift and move, then all of a sudden, darkness begins to encroach on that location. And so I'm trying to make a point, and that point is this. If you want to remain in the light and walk as the children of the light, you need to pursue the sun. You need to look, follow after, reach for. Don't stay where you are. Continue to progress. Reach for, strive, follow after. Set your affection on things above. Amen. And stay in the light, because it's only a matter of time before your natural self will shift and rotate and move out of view of the light. And of course, we know that when you're not in the light, you begin to get cold. Hello? You begin to get cold. I don't even like the cold. I like to be hot. I'm not talking about 98, 104 degrees, but you know what I'm saying. I like the energy of the sun. I like the rays of the sun. I like just being in the sun. Vitamin D, it's good for you. But more than that, I like to be with Him. I like to be in the presence of God. I like to be in the light of God. I love illumination. I love to see the things of God. I love and appreciate revelation. I love and appreciate the fact that I'm not lost anymore. I'm not blind anymore, but I can see the Lord. I know who the one God in Christ really is. Amen. Because my eyes have been opened. The light has shone in my spirit and in my heart, and I'm no longer abiding in darkness. But I can if I want to. That's my choice. So we slack. Hear me. Listen. When we slack, when I slack, when you slack, point at your friend and say, hey, listen, when you slack, when you neglect, when you refuse to stay in right relationship, in right fellowship, when you refuse, when you neglect, when you slack in fellowshipping with God and with the body of God, the body, the members of the body, when you start slacking in that particular area, you will usually end up yielding to wrong or harmful fellowship. No, you don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to go do this, rob a bank, and go rent an X-rated movie or something stupid like that, or go, just start chewing tobacco. No, you don't just wake up one day and decide to do that. Hello? But when you refuse and you neglect and you slack in fellowship, and the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But when you deliberately and intentionally, maybe you've gotten a little lazy or something, I don't know. But when you refuse and you neglect and you slack in the area of fellowship, then what you're doing is you are now yielding yourself to other things, harmful fellowship. And it's only a matter of time. It's kind of like David, and Brother Stone King taught me this. He says, when you are
out, how do he say it? I can't remember how he says it. But I'm going to try my best. He says, when you're out of the line of duty, and I think some of you, my friends, have heard this. When you are out of the line of duty, and fellowship is your duty. Tell a few people, fellowship is your duty. It's your responsibility. That's right. Because that's how we take care of each other. All right? When he said, when you're out of the line of duty, you are in the way of temptation. And if it could happen to David, it could happen to anybody. Hello? A man after God's own heart? Why? Because your flesh is no different than David's. My flesh is no different than his flesh. My flesh likes the same thing David's flesh liked. Hello? God come to redeem your soul, not your flesh. That's why he said you crucify your flesh. You deny your flesh. You can bind devils, cast out devils, rebuke devils, tell devils to flee, send them into other regions. You can terrify them, torment them, and just, you know, get rid of them. You can resist them. But you can't get rid of flesh. But you sure can crucify it. Notice he said crucified with Christ. Because anything that is crucified will eventually die. That's right. Anything that is eventually crucified and stays crucified will soon die. Amen. And when I die, he lives. When flesh dies, he's glorified. When I die, there's resurrection. There's power. There's character. There's life. There's the works of the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's the acts of the Almighty God demonstrated, manifested through flesh that has been crucified. My, my, my. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands for just a moment. I'm going to close here in just a short amount of time. Praise God. Come on, open your mouth and thank the Lord today. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you for truth. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for the household of faith. Thank you for my brother and my sister. Thank you for this congregation that you put me here. Oh, Lord, and I want to be in fellowship with your body. My brothers and sisters in the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to yield to the darkness and yield to the dominion, the power of sin. I don't want to yield to unbelief. I have. I don't want to yield to, you know, the attitudes of this world. I certainly don't, and I hope that you don't either. But we can. We can do that. 1 John chapter number 1, and I believe this will be the last chapter that I will be reading from. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 3. In fact, let me just read that from the beginning. Can you put that on the screen? Just go to verse number 1, if you would. And that way we have more understanding to this context here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was what? Manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, notice what he says, declare we unto you. There has to be proper communication. We've got to talk about this. If we're going to get the results that God has intended, we need to declare him. We need to declare him, amen, and do more than just spend time together and call it fellowship. When we get together, we need to talk about the goodness of the Lord. Talk about what he's done for me. Talk about how he's dealing with me, what he's showing me, how he's growing me, how he's convicting me, how I'm not what I used to be. I don't feel like I used to feel. There's a desire in me. There's a faith in me. There is a resilience in me. There's something in me that says, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. I've obtained victory for you. I've overcome this world. And I will put my life in you so that everything that I've done, you will do. He said, that which we have seen and we've heard, declare we unto you. I'm telling you, we need to talk to this world about a real Jesus. He's not just some pastime. He's not just something someone we mention on Sunday or Wednesday, but he needs to become our life. In him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. That's what I choose. God chose it for me, and I'm going to come into agreement with God's choice and say, yay, Lord. I choose that too. And he says, we declare it unto you that ye also. Why? Why are we declaring it unto you? So that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's right. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. Everybody say Spirit. Everybody say eternal deity. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. Everybody say humanity. Say body. There's a lot of sickly people around here. I'm not talking about physically sick. I'm talking about spiritually sick. I'm not dealing with this body per se, this congregation. But there's one reason why there's a lot of unhealthy people. It's because they haven't discerned the body of Christ. Amen. They wasn't talking about you can't figure out what's is in this bread and how this wine is made. No. He's talking about discerning the body of Christ. Hallelujah, because the body of Christ is the house of God. It's the temple of God. It's where you, if you can find the church, you can find God. Hallelujah. If you can't find God in the church, you haven't found the church, because the church is the house of God. The church has become the habitation of the eternal omnipotent Spirit, and the church, amen, should let him manifest. Let him abide. Let him dwell. Let him live. Let him loose from the pulpit. Get him in the streets. Get him in the neighborhoods. Get him in the classrooms. God wants the world to come to him, to reconcile the world unto himself. You may be seated. Truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Everybody say Spirit and body. I don't just have sweet fellowship with just the Spirit alone. No, that's only one side. That's only one side. People say, well, I don't need to go to church. Really? To say that and to act in such a way, you are an offense to God. And Jesus told Peter, he says, thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Why don't you smile? Just smile. Just smile. Just look at people with just smile. This is good. This is good. You know, a lot of times people think the preacher's mean and mad. And I'm having a good time. I'll tell you right now, I'm having a good time. Amen. I love the Word of God. I love learning. Amen. And sometimes I don't love doing. I'm just like you. Sometimes I love hearing it. Woo, that was good, powerful, awesome, amen, preacher, woo. But come Monday morning, I'm responsible. And a friend of mine said, most of the things you learn one night, you forget by morning. That's why we need to continue studying, continue praying, continue coming to church, so that it's refreshed and renewed, and so that you don't forget. God knows us. Amen. No wonder God settled that, okay, I'm going to preserve this word. Because if it's not preserved in the earth, if they don't have a book, they're going to be lost. They don't know. They're going to wander around just like the children of Israel, 40 years, but perhaps 4,000 years. Amen. Unless God was to intervene somehow and kind of direct traffic, put up a few signs. Dead end. All right. Are you doing okay? All right. Everybody say fellowship. Verse number 7, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full or complete. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. Everybody say, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Everybody say, God is light. And in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. No darkness. What happens when you're in the light and all of a sudden you're in the dark? What happens? You feel different.
And all of a sudden, you're not quite as confident. And all of a sudden, you can't see. And there's a fear that sometimes comes with that darkness because of the uncertainty. But God is light. There's no darkness in Him. No fear in Him. No uncertainty in Him. No ignorance in Him. No blindness in Him. Praise God. And then verse, I believe number 6, says, if we say, oh, wow. And I underscored that. If we say, a lot of people in the world say, a lot of people in the world, they confess, etc. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness or conduct our lives or continue in darkness, you see, that tells me that you can be in the church and void of fellowship with God. Isn't that something? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, which is blindness, it's ignorance, and it's ungodliness. To walk in darkness is to walk in blindness, to walk in ignorance, and to walk in ungodliness. And to do so, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but our walk is in darkness, ignorance, blindness, ungodliness, He says, we lie and we do not the truth. In other words, we are deceiving ourselves. We are lying to ourselves. I dare say, not to be offensive, but I dare say that there are many people on planet Earth that are lying to themselves. They're deceiving themselves because they're saying one thing, but they're living something different. They're not walking in truth. They're not walking in light, but they love the world, the cares of the world. They try to get as much as the world has to offer. You notice in the end time, there will be people that will love pleasure more than love God. They will love God, but they will love pleasure more. They want to go places and do things and acquire things and possess things. Amen. They will love pleasure and they will love the cares of this world. And they want to be rich and they want to be famous. And they want everybody to sing their praises. And they want to sing on stage. And they want everybody to hear how good their voice is. And they will love all of that more than they will love God. That is a terrible predicament. Terrible position for us to be in. God, help us tonight. Help me tonight, because I've got problems with my flesh just like everybody else. I need help with my humanity. I don't want to fall into that state where I love pleasure and seek pleasure more than to please the Lord. Musicians, would you come? I'm going to close here in just a moment. Amen. He says we deceive ourselves. We're living a lie. So you and I can be in the church, and please, I hope that you don't take this the wrong way, but I feel like I need to speak soberly to you, that you can be in the church and raised in church your whole life. And Pentecost is all you have ever known. And Acts 2:38 is all you've ever known. And coming to an altar on a Sunday service and feeling God and crying and speaking in tongues perhaps is all you've ever known. But I'm here to declare unto you that you can enjoy all of that and still not be in fellowship with God. God help us. God help us. Here is a reality check. You can feel God's presence. You can feel His presence. And I feel like the Holy Ghost is fixing to intercede, hallelujah, in me or in somebody. But I feel there's a work of intercession about to just birth in this place here in the next few moments. This is a reality check for you and I. We can actually feel the wonderful, overwhelming presence of the Almighty God. And we can actually receive of His goodness, receive blessing, and receive mercy from God. We can enjoy all of that and appreciate all that and even thank Him for all of these things. But yet, we can continue living our life the way we want to live it, doing whatever we want to do and go wherever we want to go, as if Jesus is in our little duffel bag and He will be there when I need Him. God, help me. Help me. As we stand tonight and I read this verse. But if we, and musicians, you can go ahead and make your way. But if we walk, everybody say, but if. And the preceding verse is, if we say we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if, everybody say, but if. I like this part. But if we walk, everybody say, walk. Not just enjoy, not just sit and soak up, but everybody say, walk. It takes effort if you're going to walk, Brother Vieira. It really does. It takes effort if you're going to walk. Conduct yourself. Progress. Move. Grow. But if we walk in the light, in this brightness, in this illumination, you could say in this heavenly fire. Didn't he say, John said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. But listen, what does the fire do? We say it energizes you, but the Bible don't say that. The Bible says the fire purges you. It purges you. Ooh. No one likes to be purged. No one likes to be purified. But he says if you walk in this fire, if you walk in the light, you are walking in the knowledge of truth. Now, a few of you are going to appreciate that. It's not enough just to have the truth. You've got to walk in it. Wasn't it John that said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, not that they have the truth, they're preaching the truth, but he said, I get no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Wow. Wow. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the knowledge of truth, if we walk in his glory, as or in the same manner or like he is in this light, or he is light, then according to scripture, and listen, there's more to this than meets the eye. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. For years I have preached that that's just, you know, if I walk in the light, then I'm going to have fellowship with my brother. That's true. But here's the priority. Here's the order. If we have fellowship, or if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we, everybody say, point up. Say, him and I. Say, we. Him and I make a we. Then we have fellowship one with another. It's not just that I have fellowship with him, but if I walk in the light as he is in the light, then I have fellowship with him and he has fellowship with me. It's not that, oh, I just feel him. No, no, no. It's more than that. He feels me. Hello? I'm not just experiencing him, but he's experiencing me. It's mutual. It's reciprocal fellowship. Everybody say divine fellowship. And that fellowship cannot be complete without the fellowship of the body. Everybody say, that's us. Because hear me, ladies and gentlemen, young people, you can be raised in church and you can have and be in fellowship with your brother and not be in fellowship with him. Hear me. You can be in good fellowship with the body and all the activities and the services and the glory. You can be in fellowship with the body and not be in fellowship with him. But you cannot be in fellowship with him and not be in fellowship with the body. Because the results of your fellowship with him is you are going to have a holy, healthy, love-filled fellowship
with the body of Christ. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another. Where does that love come from? It comes from fellowshipping with Him. It comes from knowing Him and hear me now, and allowing Him to know you. You see, you can claim to know Obama, but Obama don't know you. We can claim to know Christ, and we can go to Him in that last day and say, Lord, I want you to look at all these people. I want you to look at my record. And look at all the things I've done. I have never missed a service. Well, two Wednesday nights in all these years. Look at what I've done. Look at the prayers I prayed and the songs that I have sung. Woo! What a record! I prayed for people and they were healed. You hear me? I walked by and they just got in my shadow and they were healed. Hello? But then Jesus said, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to profess, I never knew you. You had relationship with me via experience, but you never yielded your body and let me have a relationship with you. You never let me have my way. You just carried me into your world, but you didn't let me lead you. That's a revelation. Let's lift our hands to the Lord tonight. I want to be in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. That's why it's easy for some of you to love your brother, because of your fellowship and your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Oh, and it doesn't matter what they do or what they say. You've got perfection in you. Where's that? What is that perfection? It's called love. It's the bond of perfection. Hallelujah. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will suffer long. Oh, it'll bear all things. Hallelujah. That love comes from God. It comes from not just me knowing Him, but letting Him know me. Letting Him move in my life. Letting Him feel my life. Letting Him download His life, His substance, His essence, His character, His will, His objective, His desire. Then it's no longer about what I want. It's no longer what I will, but it's all about His will. It's all about yielding to the will of God. To be in fellowship with the Lord, and I want to be in right fellowship with my brother. Let's lift our hands one more time. I don't know if you know this song, but I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never love the Lord. Let's pray to the Lord. Oh, God. God, this is revelatory to me. Oh, hallelujah. It's more than just about me knowing you, but it's about me yielding myself, that you would know me, that you would have relationship with me. I am your child. Oh, my God, my God. This flesh has to die. This will has to be totally subject and submitted to deity. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your love. I submit to you, God. Not just by confession, but also by profession. Hallelujah, and by demonstration. Let it be so that we are totally yielded, that we give up our authority, we give up our rights, we yield ourselves completely to you. to your will, to your life, to your character, to what you've decided, Lord, for my life. Oh, Lord God. Come on, church, lift your voice. Begin to call on the Lord tonight. He loves you. He's here to help us. He's here to give us some instruction. Amen. He has brought some light in on our lives and on our situation. And he's brought light to our status and to our condition. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. To whom much is given, much shall be required. There's a responsibility that comes with this. It's just not a reaction. It's a responsibility. Oh, I'm accountable to this word. I'm accountable to God. And I'm accountable to the men and the women that God has put in my life that I will submit myself to in the name of Jesus. Can we join hands if you're not just, you know, in deep prayer for you and your life? Can you just for a moment begin to pray for your brother? Pray for your sister. Come on, I know I don't want to call people by name because you might call my name. Amen, but I'm going to call your name in private. I'm going to call your name when I pray and when God leads me, amen, to pray, hallelujah, and to submit to the intercessory work of the Spirit. Perhaps we will call your name out, hallelujah, because God wants you to come into this fellowship. God wants you to come into this partnership. God wants you to come into this divine holy communion with the house of God. Come on, you don't need to feel like a stranger in the house of friends. You don't need to feel like a stranger. If you do, it's time to renew. It's time to get close to God. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He will deposit himself. He will fill your life with his very essence and life in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on, we've got to pray one for another. We've got to learn that we can talk to each other, that we can resolve conflict, that we can extinguish gossip fires by learning how to build up our brother, learning how to fellowship with our brother in a manner that pleases God and that represents his character. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God, help me. Help me. Oh God, to submit to you, Lord, so that my tongue is bridled. Oh Lord, I need my tongue bridled because sometimes I'm tempted to say things about people that I should not be saying. Sometimes I'm tempted to speak condescending towards another. I need help with my mind. I need help with my heart. I need help with my mouth, God. I don't want to run anybody down, Lord. I don't want to talk about things that I don't even know about, Lord. I want to build up. I want to fellowship. I want to cooperate. Oh, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing in the body of Jesus Christ. Ne ma yensu kuri la mayanda keta mahasela shuri moloto koro mayanda haya in the milling candle surli kasho. Oh, my Father, we need you tonight. Help us not to neglect each other and the needs among us. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight and bearing with me as I present the word of the Lord with a burden that God has put in my heart to fulfill the plan of God.